Hi everyone, and welcome to Stigma Busters. This podcast has recently gone under some changes that I'd like you all to know about. Previously, under the Wood County Adamus Board, Stigma Busters is now housed at NAMI Wood County. If you are unfamiliar, NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization dedicated to building better lives for the millions of Americans affected by mental illness. NAMI advocates for access to services, treatment, supports, and research, and is steadfast in its commitment to raise awareness and build a community for hope for all those in need. But, more importantly, NAMI Wood County is your local contact for information on mental illness. We provide education, support, and advocacy for people living with a mental illness, the family and friends that support them, and the Wood County community. So, with all that being said, the goal of Stigma Busters remains the same: educate the Wood County community about mental health related issues. So this will include conversations with both mental health professionals and advocates in Wood County that will address stereotypes on mental health disorders, how family and friends can help their loved ones, the impact of policy change, and more. But most importantly, we will talk with people about their own journey to recovery. We believe the value of lived experience is crucial to recovery. And at NAMI Wood County, we pride ourselves in not only having the educational experience, but also the lived experience. Meaning, we live with a mental health condition, have a loved one who is diagnosed with a mental illness, or for some of us, even both. Mental health can and will affect all of us, but we still don't talk about it enough. So join Stigma Busters at NAMI Wood County, your local voice on mental illness, in the fight to address stigma and educate our community one episode at a time. At NAMI Wood County, we know that receiving any new diagnosis can be scary and even intimidating. Whether it is a physical or a mental health condition, it's unknown territory, and we will need to learn more about it. As we transition hosting sites of the podcast, I will be sitting down with Amanda Kern from the Wood County Alcohol, Drug Addiction, and Mental Health Services Board. She'll be talking about the different programs that Wood County Adamus helps to support, fund, and manage. Later, I'll be joined by Pat, Sherry, and Ayessa, three of NAMI Wood County's peer program facilitators, to learn more about the importance of incorporating recovery services into your treatment plan. It's all coming up soon on today's Stigma Busters. Before we dive into today's podcast, we want to share a disclaimer with our audience. The content we share on Stigma Busters can be triggering and upsetting to individuals at times. If you are experiencing thoughts of self-harm or suicide, please call the Wood County Crisis Line at 419-502-HOPE. Or you can dial the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 988. You can also text NAMI to the Crisis Text Line at 741-741, and you'll be connected to a crisis counselor. Remember, you are not alone, and help is here. Thanks for coming on today, Amanda. I appreciate you taking time out of what I'm sure is a busy schedule to come by and chat with me. So to get us started, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and then explain your background in mental health and then your current role in the community.
Okay, thank you for having me on. So I'm Amanda Kern. I'm a licensed independent social worker. My entire career almost has been spent working in community mental health. Previously, I worked as a provider. I've done case management, therapy, group. I've managed those programs. I've built some of these programs. And then ultimately, I ended up being vice president of clinical services. So the primary function of my job was to do grant writing and to build new programs. So at the end, I was working on expanding crisis services here in Wood County. And we were also developing criminal-based services in the jail and outpatient-based services for criminal thinking for folks who had been incarcerated and were now transitioning back into the community to try to build some support and hopefully reduce the likelihood of going back to jail after they had been released. So it was really enjoyable stuff. I love building programs. I also did a short stay working inpatient psych work as a social worker in the old St. Charles building before they built the BHI, which tells you how long it's been since I worked there. And then I originally started my career doing working at the old victim services. It tells you also how long that was being a victim's advocate is what we were called back then. So I would do, I was on call to respond to domestic violence situations or sexual assault cases.
Wow. So yeah, broad range of experiences. Yeah, absolutely. So then what is the current role then in the community?
So I'm currently the executive director at the Wood County Adamus Board, Alcohol, Drug, and Mental Health Services Board. I've been in this role, I think we settled on about 5 months now. Time kind of escapes me.
Oh, yeah.
Since March of this year.
Awesome. So welcome to your new role. We're excited to have you. And obviously you bring about a wide range of experiences. So it's, you know, really important, especially working entirely in community mental health for most of your career is really, really valuable experience to have in this role. So can you explain then what exactly Adamus is and how it helps and support behavioral health services in our community?
So the Adamus Board's functions can really be broken and simplified down into four key areas, and those are planning, funding, monitoring, and advocating. And so what we do is we do a lot of planning activities where we do a community assessment plan, we call it the CAP for short, where we interview all of our providers, community members, consumers, to really get a landscape and a snapshot of what are the services we have available and where are the gaps that we may have in our services or transitions between services even. And then we take that information and we develop a plan and develop priorities for our county. We take that information and build it into our strategic plan, and then that's really our guiding light for the next 3 years, saying these are the areas that we're really trying to develop more services. In addition, we also will do a lot of needs assessments. We'll look at what is the experience of this specific subset of right now we're looking at, for example, the schools. What's been their experience with prevention, with accessing treatment? What are areas they would like some more support or they feel like we're underdeveloped? So then we can take that information and really help detail even more about some of the new programming that we'll be developing. The other big piece that we provide is we fund services around, and I'll talk a little bit about the providers we fund, but we bring funding down from both the federal and state levels, but we also have our levy dollars. We're really blessed to be supported so well by Wood County. Wood County has been a really warm and advocating place for mental health consumers. So we're very thankful for all of our voters who have supported us over the years. And we also are really reaching out now to try to expand our grant funding to where we're applying for grants on behalf of providers or on behalf of ourselves to bring more money into the county so we can build more programming. And then anything that we fund, we turn around and monitor. So we make sure, is it doing what it's supposed to be doing? Can people access it? Is it showing that it's being effective? And then are people satisfied with the services? And I always frame that more of, do people feel like they have hope when they leave one of our provider services? Because that's really the main part of everything that we do is creating hope. And then we use all of this information to turn around and advocate. So we do a lot of legislative work where we take this information back to our policymakers, back to the budget makers, back to the people designing these grants and funds to try to help them understand what it looks like on the ground level and help kind of make influence some of their decision making, hopefully, to increase opportunities specifically for Wood County.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's very comprehensive, everything that Adamus does. I'm familiar. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity to be able to have the different funding revenues that come in. And I feel like NAMI plays such a good part in that, too, with the advocacy piece, being able to help, you know, identify and support then some of those gaps. I like what you said, too, about creating hope for that as well, because that's kind of the theme that we have for this episode is having hope after a diagnosis and kind of learning what happens then afterwards. So along with that, too, I wanted to ask, what are the different kinds of programs then? You know, we talked about how the Adamus Board helps the fund monitor those different programs. So what exactly are those programs?
So there's a lot of services that we help fund. There are 9 key partners and providers that we are currently working with, and all of their services really can be broken down into 3 primary categories. We talk about prevention, recovery-based services, and intervention-based services, your traditional community mental health things.
Okay.
And so our partners are our educational services, Ohio Guidestone, Zeth, Unison, Harbor, ARC, which is the Addiction Response Coalition, Children's Resource Center, Cocoon, and NAMI, of course.
Awesome. So then in these different services that you said there's different treatment, intervention, recovery services then as well. So if folks wanted to learn a little bit more about what those services are, could they visit like your website to find that out?
Oh, absolutely. So you can visit our website. You can reach out to us. We have helped link folks to it. And then we've also got our crisis services where if maybe you're not to the point you are saying, yes, I'm suicidal at this point, but I'm really struggling and I don't know how to get help. Those folks will always help connect to resources and have all of the resources for Wood County so they can help connect to the right level of care that somebody might need.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, lots of comprehensive services. I know at NAMI, I feel like we fall into like prevention, recovery side.
Yes.
So yeah, we really try to hearken in those services and let people know. And we assist with getting teaching people where they can get treatment services too. So I think it's a great collaborative partnership that we have here in Wood County. Yeah. Talking about stigma a little bit more, you know, we have all these great services, but sometimes people may be a little resistant just because of self-stigma, external stigma, just different factors that kind of play in with those barriers to getting to treatment. So have you ever worked with anyone who was resistant to treatment due to self-stigma or maybe any external factors? And how did you help them?
Over the years, I have worked with quite a few people who struggled to access services or really, I think, come to terms with their mental health diagnosis. And it really was around they didn't want to be labeled as being mentally ill. And maybe it was from a family that didn't believe in mental illness. Maybe it was, no, I have a character defect. And if I just pull myself up by my bootstraps, I won't be so depressed. And really looking at it as though they had some sort of flaw or something wrong with them. When in reality, you have a mental health diagnosis that is a medical diagnosis, there is a physiological component to this, and getting to connect to where it is, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You have this diagnosis, and we can put this over here and work on it over here. But you as a human being, as John or Susie or, you know, Sarah, you are still completely whole and completely yourself and have all the hope and opportunities to live the life that you want to live. And so it really was about connecting back. Anytime I worked, especially individually with folks, it was really disconnecting from I have this mental health diagnosis and now everything I've ever wanted in life has to change and I can't accomplish anything. And what am I going to do now that this has hit me to know we can work through this. There is hope and you can still have all these dreams and goals. What are those dreams and goals? And let's refocus back to them. And maybe we need to take a sidestep to get to that goal, but we can still reach it together. And so it has been sadly an experience that you see too often where you have, like I said, families who really don't support even the concept of mental health and especially substance use disorders. There's something wrong with somebody. Why can't you do better than this, be stronger than this, when it's letting people know that it's still a mental illness. Being addicted to substances is still, again, it's got that physiological component no different than any other physical health diagnosis that people, I think, sometimes forget about whenever they're thinking about some of these diagnoses.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like people have tendency to, if they can't see it, then it's not there,
yes,
right?
It doesn't exist.
Right. So yes. Yeah, I really like that connection between the physical and mental health because yes. I think a lot of times people, they forget about that. They forget that it's not something I can see. I can't touch it, feel it. It's not an outwardly right. symptom that I'm noticing. You know, I don't need tissues or cold medicine, right? So
yes.
it's not something I can
yes.
see. And I definitely think stigma is such a huge barrier to then people who want and need treatment. And it's a struggle then too, but luckily, you know, having the ADMIS board can help address some of that stigma. So can you explain a little bit about how Wood County ADMIS helps to address stigma?
So working to address stigma, I think is one of those topics where it's a full court press type of topic. We have to really address stigma from every angle. So one of the big things that we're doing right now is we're really focusing all of our public relations events, all of our community events, all of our marketing efforts to really talk about how mental health doesn't have to be the elephant in the room. Let's make mental health as common as a conversation as getting your flu vaccine. And so we talk about it and we braid it into every conversation that we have, especially in the community. So as I go and give presentations, I'm talking to business leaders, I'm talking to education folks, I'm talking to them about, we are the ones in this room stigmatizing this. We're the ones using language that if we talk about it, like it's hush hush, or we have to keep it behind closed doors, or you can't talk about you going to therapy, and she can't talk about her episodes of depression she struggled with. That's what's keeping folks feeling stigmatized. And so we really spend a lot of our time talking about how can we take that message to the audience in front of us and help them connect with that. All of us have some sort of mental health need. We probably have it in our immediate families. Someone we love and care about has mental health or an SUD diagnosis or has struggled with addiction historically. So making it common conversation and also breaking down some of those barriers to, well, it doesn't exist here. Well, it absolutely does exist here. And so that's okay. But together we can support individuals who are struggling. And it doesn't have to be the scary thing you see on TV. So I think that's a big thing. And then also always, like I said, educating about what truly is mental health. And so people only get what they're ingesting from media and from TV and from movies. And it gives such a terrible kind of slanted viewpoint of what mental illness is. And the more we can show, no, this is truly what it is, the more we can help kind of redefine that for folks and make it something that's a safe topic for all of us to talk about and really embrace.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that being able to address the fact that people may have a family member, may have a loved one. I mean, people never realize how much mental health and mental illness really affects everybody, right?
Well,
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, some days are better than others, you know, not even necessarily living with a diagnosis, but our mental health sometimes suffers a little bit, right?
I mean, yeah.
We all get stressed.
COVID taught us anything. It was that we all have mental health needs and we all have days we struggle and there's things that we weathered well and things we did not weather well.
Absolutely.
From being completely isolated from one another.
Yes. So that was a true test of mental health.
Yes. Hopefully we can take one positive thing from that where we recognize that we all had to work very hard to manage ourselves and our families and our friends and loved ones, keeping those connections and keeping our own mental wellness through however long you were in lockdown for, depending on where you were at. So
yeah, I agree. I feel like if one good thing did come out of COVID, I've heard a few other things like, you know, Zoom services make it more convenient, which is very nice. But also, yeah, that conversation about mental health just feels so much more open now than I really feel like ever before, because even as things have gotten better in the last decade, it still has always felt like it's very hush hush. People don't want to talk about it. But ever since, you know, pandemic and people having to isolate themselves, they really opened up more about that. Yeah, yes. I feel like more conversations I have in professional settings where, you know, working at NAMI, we talk about mental health all the time, obviously, but even talking with just anyone who doesn't even work in mental health, somehow it always comes up. Somehow it always comes up about mental health or their struggles or their anxiety. So I really appreciate that the board is really taking strides to continue addressing that stigma, or the elephant in the room, if you will. And I know one of the things we're trying to do at NAMI too is talking about that lived experience piece and really honing in on, you know, us at NAMI, you know, we get it, we've been there, we can empathize. So I feel like that's a good effort that we're all bringing to, you know, talk about what's going on and having those partnerships with that too.
Well, absolutely. And I think the more we can support programs and clinical programs, having peers in their programs and folks with lived experience and recognizing those individuals as equal members to the clinical team, what they're bringing is so important to the treatment team, to the client experience, to building hope and resiliency in individuals. And so helping our providers really embrace that and understand that, and how can we continue to build support around expanding out our peer-based services, even from our agencies? Because I agree with you. I think there's nothing better than having somebody who can sit in a room with you and say, I've been there.
You know,
we have a peer with our crisis program who would go out with us when we were responding to individuals who were suicidal. And they could say, you're about to be hospitalized and I've been hospitalized. Let's talk through what's about to happen and say it from that first person viewpoint And it helped eliminate a lot of that fear and anxiety of what's about to happen. It's overwhelming. It's here's what's going to happen, and it's going to only be about this long, and then this is why, and it's to help you. And it just made such an impact and such a difference in people's lives to have somebody with lived experience in the room during their hardest moments. So I'm a big advocate for if there's a way to build peer services, let's find a way to do it.
I love that. Yeah. I love just the fact of, you know, having someone at the table who can say, yeah, I've been there. I can help you. I can explain. Because sometimes it can be very intimidating talking to, you know, a doctor, a psychiatrist, crisis counselor in that moment. And just having someone sitting next to you who can kind of explain it in a different way, who's also lived it and knows what it's like. There's huge value in that. So, Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really glad that that's something that's being pushed too in our community. So then what advice then would you give to someone who maybe was recently diagnosed with a new mental health condition and is really struggling to come to terms with it?
I think recognizing that it's okay for it to be scary and to be overwhelming, right? If we were to get any sort of physical health diagnosis, you need a moment to step back and say, okay, I have to make changes and have to do some things different, but how is this truly impacting my life? So giving yourself some grace and time to say, okay, how do I come to terms and how do I get to the space where I'm ready to start? Okay, let's come up with a game plan. Let's come up with some actionable steps that we can work on to help get me back on track or to manage this piece so I can be over here working. But I think the biggest thing to take home is that it's not the end of the story, right? There's still hope that you can be who you want to be. You can accomplish the goals you want to accomplish. And there's so much support and help out there for so many various things that you might be going through, from needing help with food, needing help with housing, to I want to get a job, or I just need a counselor to talk to because I'm overwhelmed and I don't know how to sort maybe the negative self-talk that's constantly eating at me. So I think it's just being open to the idea that you don't have to do this alone, and it can be scary and it can be overwhelming, but that's what we're here for. 100% every day is to just help the person in front of us have hope and really reach their goals.
And thinking about too, you know, if someone gets diagnosed with, you know, diabetes or heart disease, you know, it's kind of the same thing where we're trying to figure out how life is going to change. Maybe there's a new diet in place or new services. And the way you're describing it is very similar with a mental health condition. We may have to adjust, you know, different medication and different treatment options, maybe going to a counselor as a part of the regimen.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, you're still you.
Yeah.
You're not that diagnosis.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love that. Well, to kind of wrap up our conversation, is there any other tidbits of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think the biggest thing is really, like I said, it's one time, I'll give you just a quick story. I went to one of my first crisis academies where I went and was educated from people around the country about crisis efforts, because crisis is near and dear to my heart. It's my favorite thing I've ever worked on. And one of the speakers was a peer who also became an independent social worker and opened her own agency. And so I sat down at the table, just kind of not knowing what to expect. It was just another class that I had picked. And she starts it and said, do you know the number one reason for stigma? And all of us are looking around, we're generating our own ideas and thinking. And she goes, it's you. You're the problem. To a complete packed room full of professionals. And I was so just absolutely blown away and fangirling at this moment that I could not take my eyes off of the room and watch the way the professionals were just shocked. Just how could you say that? I've devoted my whole career to building hope and helping individuals and making crisis services. And she continued to talk about it's the idea that we have made ourselves separate than mental health. That we don't have mental health needs, that we don't have family members with mental health needs, that we don't have family members with SUD diagnoses, when in reality we have. And so the more that even as professionals or as family members or as friends or however, whatever roles you play in your life, you can be transparent in the places that feel safe to you to be transparent, that you feel really ready and equipped to have those conversations and to be able to say, no, you know what, I do have anxiety and this is how I've managed it. I've had panic attacks. I have had, you know, depression before, or maybe I'm bipolar. And to be able to just build it into conversation without that heaviness of, oh, I have to tell you in secret that I have this. It will help reduce stigma. Every person who can kind of do that little bit of work really can start changing the entire conversation about how we talk and think about mental health. And I really do believe as professionals, we are the people who have to start helping lead that charge, because we are really separate than, and people really put us, oh, the therapist, or oh, the doctor. Well, there's a good chance that therapist or doctor or case manager has firsthand knowledge of some kind about mental health or substance use disorders or addiction or recovery. And so being able to open up those spaces a little bit more, and the more even our fields can embrace that, because when I was came into the field, they told me, no, ma'am, you don't talk about it. It's politics, it's religion, and it's your own needs. You keep it all locked up tight, and we never discuss these things. And if you do, you're doing it wrong. And now the more and more I've gotten in the field and more that we've learned and talked and educated, the more I recognize that that's actually doing more harm than good. The more we can talk about, you know, I've struggled with X and there is hope, I think the more that we can really build a different conversation and more of that physical health, mental health parity that we're looking for. So that's my little soapbox takeaway issue. Talk about it, embrace it, be okay with it. Don't be ashamed of it. We all have struggled with something, or somebody we love a lot has. And the more we can talk about it, the less scary it becomes. So
I'm glad I let you stand up on your soapbox and say that, because that was a great way to wrap up this conversation. So thank you so much, Amanda, for coming on and chatting. I really appreciate you again taking the time. So
thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How do you find the right provider? Having confidence in a therapist is important to establish a positive therapeutic relationship. To feel comfortable with a therapist, it's recommended that you talk to more than one before making a choice. Here are a few questions to consider asking. 1. Do you accept my insurance? If not, what arrangements do you have for payment? 2. If I need medication, can you prescribe me or refer me to someone who does? 3. Do you have any specialties? Do you have experience in treating anxiety, depression, OCD, or any other related disorders? 4. Do you provide telehealth therapy? 5. How long will it take before I can expect to feel better? And finally, how can I help in my recovery? Remember, mental health professionals want you to have the best care for you. So if you are not getting everything out of your mental health treatment that you need, tell them. You can advocate for yourself in your own needs. Remember, it is okay to stop treatment with a provider and find a new one instead. Thank you all three for coming on today. I know for some of you, it was just kind of spur of the moment, decided to come on to be on the show, but I appreciate it. I think you all have valuable insight, and I can't wait to hear. So before we get started, why don't we each go around, introduce yourselves, your name, and then how long you've been involved with NAMI, and what's your role with NAMI?
Hi, my name is Sherry, and I've been with NAMI for 15 years. I am a peer support facilitator.
I'm Pat, and I've been with NAMI roughly 20 years, and I've really, really enjoyed it, and I've learned a lot. I'm a peer-to-peer facilitator, a support group facilitator, and a family-to-family facilitator.
My name is Ayesa. I've been with NAMI for the past 10 years, but been facilitator for about a year and a half now.
So a lot of great experience. All three of you have been around for more than a decade. That's awesome. So, you know, you all lead different peer support groups, some of the different peer programming. Can you all just, or at least one of you, explain in a little more detail what the program is that you facilitate and who it's for? And just a little more detail what it's like to lead a group.
Peer-to-peer is led by peers, and it is for peers, and it's just really amazing. When people come in, they're scared, and they don't really want to talk much, but by the end of the 8 weeks, everybody's a family, and we talk about all different phases of mental health, and everybody really enjoys it.
Connections support group is for peers. They are coming in to just reach out for help. with their own mental illness, and it's led by a peer, and we are able to support them as a group in their endeavors.
Awesome. Peer support to me means it's a support group to me that is bonding with others that share the same worries in life, such as when you do not tell your employer about your diagnosis, because in doing so, you risk the chance of not being taken seriously or have others look down at you.
Yeah, no, that's all great. And I'm familiar with peer-to-peer and the connections group as well. I'm actually a facilitator for peer-to-peer myself.
Oh, there we go.
So they are great programs. I can attest to that. And, you know, we're kind of throwing the word peer a lot. Would one of you kind of like to explain what a peer exactly is? Because, you know, we've talked about family programming and the peer program. So what exactly is a peer?
A peer to me is someone who also has a mental illness. So you're dealing with like a mental illness together. It could be a separate kind of mental illness, but it's still a mental illness. And you're being able to support one another.
So then, like, for a family member, is that someone then who has a loved one then? Yeah, living with a mental health condition?
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, we have this wide variety of programming that we have at NAMI. And, you know, you've all kind of spoken on how impactful the peer programming is for people. So what are some ways that people then can prioritize their mental health? Obviously, I would say come to a support group, right?
Yes.
What are some other ways?
The best way to stay ahead of the troubled times is make a daily plan. Make a plan for holidays, your work days, or even weekends. That's how I prioritize my mental health, by putting myself first, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't help others.
That's very, very true. You've got to take care of yourself. If you don't, nobody else is going to. You know, so you just have to. That's all there. You can't help anybody. You can't do anything for anybody if you're not in a good space.
Right.
So true. Because nobody else is going to do it for you.
That's right.
And it doesn't hurt anybody else if I'm going down.
Right.
Exactly. Me.
There you go.
I would imagine, too, as leading different groups, it can be challenging, you know, trying to keep the conversation going. We talk a lot with different professionals about, like, burnout or, like, secondary traumatic stress. So kind of feeling those feelings from other people. Have you ever experienced that as facilitators? And would you say that you would cope with that kind of the same way as your regular mental health?
For me, I've always come out of any class, whether it's a peer-to-peer or support group, and I feel better. I always feel better because I feel like, one, I'm helping somebody else, okay? And another is just that it just makes me feel so good, you know, to help somebody. And then, like I said, in the long run, I'm helping myself because then I do feel better.
Yeah. I've had burnout. But what helps me get away from that is when actually someone really reaches out and says, are you all right?
Right.
I also did that. She reached out, and I know I can call you and Tammy.
Yes, anytime. I told you.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I feel like just from that, it's really helpful to be able to have that support. And like you said, it's people who are in the room experiencing it,
right,
who are also facilitating. And I think that makes a huge part of what makes peer-led support groups so impactful. You know, have someone who's just up with the front, like, I'm the professional and I know everything. We've all get it. We've been there. And that's really, really impactful.
They don't care if you stumble over your words.
No. No, they don't.
Don't forget what you're saying.
Makes sense. They understand. Yes. And that's the big thing,
yeah,
is you're with people that understand what you're going through. And, you know, and you understand, of course, what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And that is so important.
Yes. You feel more at home than probably what you've ever had
before. Exactly.
Like sharing what you feel inside.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that if someone is interested in being a facilitator, they should be a facilitator.
Absolutely. Right?
Definitely.
Absolutely. You gain so much from it.
You help yourself in the long run, too.
Right. When
you're helping others, because it just makes you feel good. And you're able to give back and see that impact back onto your life.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So then what would be some recommendations that you all have for someone who is struggling with their mental health? Maybe, you know, they're already kind of seeing counselor, therapist, they're on medication, but maybe they're having a hard time, you know, wanting to get additional sort of support because of stigma that's associated with it. So sometimes, you know, we may see that people are afraid to come to our groups or whatever because they see mental illness and, you know, there's stigma attached to that. So what would you recommend to this person who is struggling because of stigma?
First thing I would recommend is to go to a support group. Mm-hmm. Connection support group where you don't even have to talk. The first time or two, you can just sit and listen and get a feel for it. And then once you're comfortable in support groups, then, you know, learn about the different programs. The more you learn, the better you're going to feel.
You'll soon feel like you really aren't alone.
Yes.
That there's a lot of people that think and feel the same way you do.
And you just never realized it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great advice, yeah. All right, well, as we're wrapping our conversation, is there anything else that you all want to talk about or chime in? Any other thoughts?
Visit our website and you can join all of our peer stuff.
Right.
Absolutely.
NamiCounty.org. And our NAMI Connections is also online too. So if you don't feel like getting out, you can still join.
Yeah, you can go through Zoom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And join. Yeah. And it's not just all classes. You know, there's fun things and stuff to do.
That's true.
Yeah.
We closed with the alphabet today.
We did.
List something with your letter that was a self-care.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we went all through the alphabet.
And, you know, we can hear from these three lovely ladies that they're a blast. So if you are looking to get involved, you can come to the Connections group on Wednesdays at noon.
There we go.
All right. Thank you all so much for coming on. I appreciate you taking time to chat with me today.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
If you're looking for more Stigma Busters, be sure to subscribe and stay up to date on all of our new episodes. Don't forget, rate us too. If you want to learn more about NAMI Wood County, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. You can also watch our Facebook and YouTube Live NAMI News at 2 videos to learn more about self-care tips, awareness date information, upcoming programs, and more. To learn more about NAMI Wood County's programs, including information on support groups, classes, and presentations, visit namiwoodcounty.org. When the whole world is silent, even one voice becomes powerful. Remember, when it comes to mental health advocacy and education, your voice matters too.